All right. So this is the interview with Vernell Fleming. My name is Olivia Fleming, the interviewer today. Today, the date is November 10th. It is 10:01 a.m. and we are in Polk City, Florida. Yes. So first and foremost, do you consent and agree to be recorded during this interview?
Yes.
Thank you. So just to make note of it, I'm going to be asking you about food, anything and everything you want to make note of. Just feel free to talk about whatever you want, even if it gets off the topic of food. So you just tell me what is important to you and I'll go with that. I'll just follow you. You take me wherever you want to go. So to get started, can you tell me about yourself?
My name is Vernell Fleming, and I'm Olivia's grandmother. And today's her daddy's birthday.
It is.
And food is one of the most important things to me and my family.
You got the bell.
Yeah, we've got
just,
the bells
disregard
chiming.
The bell.
And first of all is religion, and then is our faith in the Lord, and then is food, because, hey, our food, our table is food, and our family is around the table. So we enjoy food.
So on a typical day when you're gathering around the table with friends or family or both or all of the above, what kind of food do you typically have at the table? What are some typical or traditional dishes?
Well, it's according to what time of the year it is. But we always have a big meal of Southern food. So, and I always like a dessert.
Always have a dessert. Okay.
Yeah, and iced tea.
Iced tea. So, according to the event, what kind of events do you gather around the table for? What are some notable
everything.
Events?
We gather for everything. And I usually always have, when my children has a birthday, I still have a big birthday dinner. And they always get a birthday cake. So that's what we do. That's one thing. And then all of the holidays, but usually on Sundays. Now that the kids are growing away, we don't have dinner every Sunday, but we usually have a big Sunday meal.
So what does a typical Sunday meal look like? Like, what does the entire day look like when you have those meals on Sunday with family?
Well, I try to get most of it done before church. But if we have a dinner, like we're going to have one this Sunday, we're going to have a fish fry for Olivia and my son, Larry. I'll have most of it cooked, and then we're eating at 2 o'clock. So that gives me plenty of time by the time I get home from church to have everything ready by 2 o'clock. And that's going to be a fish fry.
How long does it usually take to prepare all the dishes for a typical meal?
Well, usually my family members, my daughter and my daughter-in-law, they bring a plate of something or a big bowl of something. So I don't have to do all the cooking. But we always have meat. Your dinner always, your meal always goes around your meat. Mm-hmm. So.
And so this Sunday, the meat's going to be fish.
Yeah.
You just made a face. Can you tell me why you made a face?
I don't like fish. But Olivia and our son Larry from California, they wanted a fish fry. So they're going to cook fish, and I'm going to do baked beans, and it's with the hamburger meat and all that good junk. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing a macaroni salad, and Aunt Pam is doing a potato salad, and I don't know what Julia's doing right now, but and my son Larry wanted a red velvet cake. I said, "What kind of cake do you want when you get home, Larry?" and he wanted a red velvet cake. So I made him a red velvet cake, and that's Olivia's daddy's favorite cake, and today's his birthday, so they get to share a cake.
And is sharing a pretty big theme for your family?
Hey,
or our family?
We have always shared. All of my grandkids, my kids always shared. All of my grandkids shared. And, you know, now that they're adults and they have children, everybody still shares.
Is it just food or is it sharing
everything,
just generally?
Okay. Everything. We have always shared everything.
So is that something that you've intentionally taught them and that you were taught growing up?
Yep.
Or is that just something that kind of happened?
No, we were raised, my side of the family and my husband's side of the family. Both sides of the family was taught you had to share because we didn't have all that much growing up. So you always shared. So I raised my kids sharing and caring. And my grandkids, they were taught the same way. So it's good.
So for you, why is sharing so valuable and important?
Well, like I said, when we were growing up, we didn't have just everything we wanted. So we had to share. And even family to family would share. So I know how it is, how good it makes you feel when someone is sharing with you. If there's something you need or you want, you know, it's good to have someone in the family that you can say, hey, I need this or that. Mm-hmm. And it's there.
So with food and sharing outside of the family, is sharing food with other folks pretty common for you, and where do you typically do that at?
Oh yeah, it's very common. And I know my husband and I, we make sour cream pound cakes. And if someone dies in our church group or our friends or anybody that we're close to, we always carry them a cake, and we carry food. You carry food. And so that shows love and compassion. I had a lady Sunday night. She says, Vernelle, I'm sort of sick. You hear me coughing? I said, yeah. She said, well, I think I need a sour cream pound cake. And I said, I'll have to work on that.
So is a sour cream pound cake one of your specialties?
Well, it's one.
So
and
what
it's
are-
quick.
What are some of your specialties? Can you tell me?
Yes. Chicken and dressing. We love chicken and dressing. And dumplings, chicken and dumplings. And mustard green. That's all of my family's favorite is mustard greens. We like that. We like crackling cornbread. And I think that would be the top.
So for all of those dishes, are those dishes that the recipes you created, or were they passed down to you? Or can you tell me a little bit about the stories associated with some of these dishes?
Well, my husband, his mother, she was Southern. She's from Alabama. And she cooked one way. Well, my mama was from Georgia. And we grew up in Florida. But my mama cooked totally different than Miss Fleming did. So, and my cooking is a blend of both of those. So, you know, you just make, it's in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a recipe. But, yeah.
So, a few years ago when I asked you about your dressing recipe, you referred to yourself as a dump cook.
Right.
Is that still something that you would define yourself as?
Yep, it is. Like today, I was teaching our son, Larry, how to make tomato gravy. And I said, now you watch, Larry, because you have to see what I'm doing, because I don't have a recipe, because I'm a dump cook. And he said, I think I got that, Mama. I think I can do that. So
how would you define dump cook exactly for those who may not know what that is?
Well, like I told him about that recipe, you look and you can tell the ratio of what you put in. You put so much of this and so much of that. And I've done it for so long till I can tell by just looking. I don't have to measure it. I just dump it in there and hope for the best.
So when you're cooking something like tomato gravy or dressing or even greens, what is your preparation process like without a recipe? And for instance, where are you getting your materials for cooking, and what does that look like?
All right, now for dressing, I like to get a big chicken, and I cook the whole chicken, because I found out that in making dressing, if you just use the breast or the thighs or whatever, it doesn't taste near the same. So I do the whole chicken. And that's, to me, that's the basis of dressing or dumplings. That's what it is.
Is to cook a big chicken.
Yeah, I do a big chicken and I put all of the meat in there. And a lot of times I'll half it up and I'll do save half for dressing and half for dumplings, because you got to have dumplings to go with dressing.
And so how do you cook the chicken exactly?
I boil it. I don't boil the whole chicken in the pot. Someone did that one time. They said, well, you said you put a chicken and you boil a chicken in a pot. Yes, but you've got to cut that thing up. So you've got to cut that chicken up and then you can cook it. You boil it in a pot.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do with that, the boiled water that the chicken's been boiled in?
That chicken broth. Oh, that's what makes whatever you're cooking. You never pour that out and use water. But I tell you, that when you do the whole chicken cut up in a pot, the taste of that broth is so good. And it makes, and we always have chicken and dressing and dumplings for Christmas and for Thanksgiving. Or when Olivia comes home.
Yes. For those listening, dressing is my favorite dish in the house. And so, would you say it takes a long time to prepare all of your specialty dishes? Is it an involved process?
Anytime you cook from scratch, and that means from the beginning, it takes a long time. And so, like with greens, mustard greens, you've got to go out in the garden. You've got to get it. You've got to cook it. I mean, boil. You've got to wash it three or four times because you don't want no sand in it. And then you got to cut it up. Then you got to cook it. And so it takes, any scratch cooking is, it takes a lot of time.
So how important is it for you to cook from scratch?
Well, that's the only way I know how to do it. We're not a big can person.
Okay.
But we do our own tomatoes and our own green beans that we have from the garden. And that makes the best food is what you did from scratch.
So from scratch includes growing it as well?
Right. Growing it and gathering it and looking it over. You've got to look it over real good and make sure nothing's in there. You don't want no meat in there. That means bugs or worms. You don't want that.
So out in the garden, what do you have planted right now?
We've got mustard greens, collard greens, mustard, pepper of all different kinds. My grandson Chase gave his grandpa a lot of different kinds of peppers. So that's what we've got out there now.
And so you mentioned that you do beans and greens, you pick them from the garden. So what other things do you create from the garden besides adding to dishes that you're cooking and like a dressing?
Well, we usually have peas, like black-eyed peas, some kind of peas, and okra. We always have okra. But I don't put that in dressing. It's the side dishes.
Mm-hmm. Do you also can or put up the veggies and fruits in other ways?
Yeah, we do. We put up just about everything. We don't buy much. We buy the flour and the meal we get in Alabama, the corn, and we take it to the grist mill and they grind it up and all. And that's what we use for our cornbread is that.
So you're pretty much involved with every step of the cooking of it, even beyond gathering materials. So you're planting, you're cooking, all of it together.
Yep. And in the summer, we always go to Alabama and we put up peas and butter beans and corn. And that's where we do the meal. So, you know, you've got stuff, you just go out in the freezer and get it. And then it doesn't take as long as having to shell all that stuff.
So is that what you mean by put up? You, like, collect it, you clean it, then you make it ready to be freezing for the year?
Yeah.
So what do you have put up right now in your freezer?
Oh, gosh. We've got peas and butter beans and corn. My family loves cream corn. And okra, we've got okra in there, but that's probably about it.
So you mentioned that your family, which of course I'm a part of, loves corn. So when you're putting food up and you're choosing what to cook, in the decision-making process of what you're going to put up and cook, how much does your family come into play in that process?
Well, it's everything. Like when the kids are coming for dinner and we're having a dinner, a birthday dinner or holidays or whatever, I know I have to do 5 quarts of corn because my family loves cream corn, fresh cream corn, not out of a can. And so it's according to how many I'm going to have, because usually we've got at least 12 here. And so that's it.
Yeah. So I wanted to, if we could, return back to talking about the dressing recipe.
Yeah.
So the dressing recipe, as mentioned, is really important to the family. But also, you mentioned that you've blended 2 versions of the recipe from your mom and then also Grandpa's mom. So what were their names?
Your grandpa's mother, she was Bertie Mae Shaw. And then she married Mr. Fleming, which is Nelson. And when she made dressing, she just used, she used regular meal like what I make cornbread with. And she would boil the chicken, and she would always say, you can never get too much onions in it. And she would chop them. It's got to be real fine. And that is basically her recipe for dressing. Well, my mother, which her name was Maddie Louise Mincy, and she married a Hughes, she would use the cornbread, And she would put some eggs in it and mix it all up. And she would put she'd put onions and her broth and everything. And it's basically about the same thing. But Miss Fleming made her dressing thinner. And my mama made a big, tall pan of it. Well, I use self-rising meal, and I add flour to it, and salt and pepper, and then I put three eggs.
Three eggs.
We left that out one time. and I put oil, and I mix all of that together. Oh, and sage. We like sage, and I put not the ground, but I like the crushed sage. And you mix that all together, and you put it in an iron skillet and put it in the oven, and you bake that. And then I would use that, and I saute onions and bell pepper and celery, the Trinity. I saute that all together. And then when my cornbread gets done, I dump it in a big pan, and I put this in there. And then I put a thing of stovetop stuff in the chicken kind. I put that in there. And I put a can of cream of celery and cream of chicken soup in that. And I mix it all together, and I bake it. And it's good.
It is good. I concur.
And we have a big pot of a big pan.
So you mentioned the Trinity. Can you repeat what the Trinity is?
Yeah, in the South, the Trinity is onions, bell pepper, and celery. And you saute that down good. Then you add it to the stuff. Now, my mother never sauteed it when she did the onions and all, or Miss Fleming. Neither one of them sauteed their onions. And they didn't do bell pepper. But, so I don't like having because celery is hard to get cooked. So, which they didn't put it in there to start with. But anyhow, that's how I do it.
So with the Trinity, where were you taught about the Trinity, or who taught you that?
Me.
You did?
I came up with that myself because I didn't like the way started off doing that, I didn't like the crunch of the celery. It wouldn't get done. So I thought, well, I'll just saute that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did.
So when you were growing up, did great-grandma cook dressing a lot?
My mother, she cooked it usually at holidays like Thanksgiving or Christmas. And Miss Fleming, her family loved dressing, and we always ate a lot together. Mm-hmm. The Flemings more so than my side of the family. But Miss Fleming, I tell you, she stayed in that kitchen. That's where I learned a lot of stuff was from her. But I would tweak it.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you spent a lot of time, as you said, learning from her. And mm-hmm. Were you actually cooking with her in that process?
No, her or my mother, neither one. I don't know if most of the older ladies didn't like you messing in the kitchen when they were in there. That was their place. But I would watch them. So I knew how to dump, because that I never saw Miss Fleming or my mother with a recipe. They were all dumpers.
They were dump cooks too.
Yep. And Olivia's turning into a good one.
I hope so. So growing up, and you said that you would watch your mother cook, and then eventually you saw great grandma Fleming cook. Was food always as big growing up? You mentioned holidays, but was it as big for you as a child as it's become for your family? and grandkids and kids?
Well, Miss Fleming, she had her family over like we do. They always came, they called her Mama. They came over to Mama's house, and she cooked. Miss Fleming always was cooking. And I tell you, she was an amazing person. And she could take nothing and make a delicious meal out of it, which my mama could too, but they were different. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what were your favorite dishes when you were growing up that were cooked from your mother or even Grandma mm-hmm. Fleming eventually?
Well, I really didn't have nothing. Well, now my mother, it seemed like every Sunday after church, she had a big pan with a beef roast. She had beef roast, and she'd make gravy. And then she would put sliced up onions on the top of it. And then around it, she would put potatoes and carrots. And that's something you look forward to coming home from church to my mama's roast. It was so good. And I still can't make it like that.
Who was typically at the table when y'all were eating this roast?
Well, we had my mother and my daddy and my brother, my oldest brother, Billy, and then Roy, and then Shirley, and then my sister Maddie, and myself. That's what we grew up with. And then later on, my mother had two more kids, Deborah and Kathy. But we had a table full, mm-hmm. and that roast stretched. You know, that's the one thing about Miss Fleming and my mother. Their food stretched. They knew how to stretch food. And we know how to stretch food. And the old saying is, when it runs out, you quit.
So how important is it for you now as a mom and a grandmother, and even a great-grandmother now, to pass on the sharing of food and cooking the food and having time together at the dinner table?
Well, that's everything, is sitting together around the table. We start the meal off, we all hold hands, and we ask the blessing. And but food is like our salvation. It's the center of who we are and what we do. And my son Larry from California, he'll call in and say, "Mother, I'm going to make whatever," he'll say. "Now, how do I do that?" And so I talk to him over the phone, and a lot of times he'll be cooking, and he'll say, "Okay, now what do I do next, Mama?" And, you know, that connects us, even though he's in California, and I'm in Florida, or Olivia's in Oklahoma, and I'm in Florida. It keeps those family strings close, and it's over food mm-hmm. and the love we have for each other.
So as I get older, or the other grandkids get older, and you're seeing changes generationally, just, you know, broadly speaking across society, what are some values relating to food and relating to food and the relationship we have with food that you hope remains?
Well, the main thing is to keep them coming to your house and having those meals and everything. Like one of my grandsons, his wife was into baking, and he said, "Grandma, if you run across a good deal on a KitchenAid mixer, I want to get Kayla one." And so Dean says, "Well, we'll give them one for a wedding gift. So we got a KitchenAid. And, you know, you can't wear those things out. And I thought that was so neat that Dan remembered all of the stuff that was around that mixer. And so that's why he wanted a KitchenAid for them, is so he knows that they've got a good mixer and they mix a lot of stuff. So, you know, when you, the basis is food and your family is a unit and we love each other. And one way you love each other is by, through food. Because you're not a happy camper if you're hungry. Or you could say, oh, we can't go to Grandma's house. She don't ever have nothing to eat. Because Grandma, you know, it's so true. One of the first places any member of our family, whether it's a child, a grandchild, and well, the great-grandkids ain't got big enough yet, but the first place they go is the refrigerator. They're, Grandma, what you got? And we've always got something. If not, we can whip something up.
So going to the refrigerator and just describing your kitchen for folks that might be listening to what you're saying in the future, can you describe your kitchen to me? I know we're sitting right next to it, but can you tell me about the kitchen and memories?
When we had this house built, my husband says, now, Vernie, you're not going to get a big kitchen because we are not going to be spending time in the kitchen. He said, because we can go out and eat, you know. I said, okay. So I said, I would really like a big kitchen. No, we're not going to do a big kitchen. Well, you know, it's been 27 years, and I'm stuck in this little kitchen. And I'm cooking more in that kitchen now than I did when I had a big kitchen. But I love my kitchen. You know, if you got a stove and a refrigerator. And the only thing I use the dishwasher for is to put bowls in. I don't use my dishwasher. And that's another thing. When my family comes to eat a meal, they always clean up the kitchen. My husband says, now, Fernell can get in there and cook it. Y'all can clean it up. So they do, and I'm glad.
Do you also have helpers as you cook now?
Oh, you want to stop?
Oh, we've got some people coming in the door right now. Got Dean, my grandmother's husband. He's carrying. What are you carrying? Is that meat?
Yeah, him and Larry is been cutting up deer meat to make jerky.
Okay.
So that's what they've been doing on the back porch. Because Olivia's brothers get married and we've got people coming in. Mm-hmm. And we're going to enjoy them this week.
So I wanted to return. You mentioned that KitchenAid mixer, mm-hmm. that Dan wanted one like that.
Mm-hmm.
So how many times do you think you've used that KitchenAid mixer?
Oh, I don't know. I know one time Dean says, I think we could grind up coffee with that. And I said, well, we could try it. Will it burn up the motor? The gears in there, so it cost about as much as it did to buy that thing to get the gears fixed. So do not grind up coffee in the KitchenAid. It don't work.
I'm so sorry. That has me laughing. I lost my train of thought. So it is a smaller kitchen, mm-hmm. than what you imagined. If you were to describe your perfect kitchen, what would it include and look like?
Well, I think it would be the kitchen I've got, but I'm in the process of getting me some quartz countertops and a backsplash. And I'm contented with that. I don't have to have a lot. The fancier the kitchen is doesn't mean the food's going to taste no better. So I'm contented. You know, I more than likely, I'm not going to be in that kitchen too awful much longer. So if I just get my countertops done and my backsplash, it's all I want.
And so to extend this, me asking you your perfect so-and-so, what would your perfect meal look like? Like, where would it be? Who would be there? What would you eat? And what would the preparation process look like?
Well, it takes a long time to prepare a big meal. And it would be Christmas or Thanksgiving. And we basically have the same thing for both meals. And we would have dressing and dumplings and ham and a turkey. And we have corn and we have peas and butter beans and cranberry sauce. Some of us like it, some don't. And we don't really have bread because you've got bread in your dressing and your dumplings. So, and then everybody in the family brings a bowl of something. So our table is running over. And then we have a table of just desserts. So that's, to me, would be my perfect, or, you know, the meal that I would think would be. It would hit just about everything. Oh, and we always have greens. You got to have mustard greens.
So to hit on the greens again and growing food, is growing food something you've passed down to the grandkids and your kids?
Well, Dean's daddy always had a garden. My daddy didn't. And so I learned all of that stuff from the Flemings. And Dean always, my husband, always has a garden. And he has a beautiful garden. And so we got that from the Fleming side of the family. Mr. and Miss Fleming, they were from Alabama. And Mr. Fleming, he always worked out in the fields. My daddy, I don't think he worked in the fields. Not like Mr. Fleming did. So
were they also from Florida, or were they from elsewhere?
Mr. and Miss Fleming?
Yes.
They were from Alabama. They were both from Alabama, and then they moved to Florida. And my mother and daddy were both from Georgia, and they moved. Isn't that neat how we all wind up in Orbendale, Florida?
Yes.
And Dean moved across the road from me. Cutest little thing.
Was that Orange Street?
No, that was Kim Street.
Kim Street. Now Uncle Larry is coming through the door.
Yeah. So, what's your next one?
Well, I'm wondering, you mentioned that Grandpa, great-grandpa, he was the one who probably got Grandpa growing food and why he does it. So what are the reasons why you and Grandpa continue to plant your own food and grow it?
Because it tastes so good. I mean, the green beans you get in the garden and you jar it up yourself, that is so good and so much better than canned. And we've been blessed at times when we would be in Alabama and the beans would come in. Olivia and her brother and her daddy would come over and pick our beans and put them up for us. Now, that's love when you get out there and do all that stuff. But it tastes just so much better.
So the work is a lot harder.
Oh, yeah.
But it's worth it to you?
Yeah. It sure is.
So I know you mentioned me. I'm your grandchild, and my father and brother, we've helped out with some of that. So is that something that the family gets involved with as well, and actually harvesting different things?
No. Terry, when we're in Alabama, he always comes over and he waters the garden and everything for us. And like I said, they would pick the beans and put them up and everything. But they're the only ones in the family that does that, because all the rest of them, that's not their cup of tea.
And so I'm thinking now about maybe the impact that you've had on the kids and grandkids in your family. So can you see how you were raised and how you've raised your kids? Can you see that coming through and how they, like, one, their relationship with food, or maybe how they're preparing their food?
Oh, yes. It's so neat to have one of your grandkids. Like I said, your Uncle Larry calls and asks us how you cook this. Well, I have grandkids that call and ask, well, Grandma, how do you do this? You know, and so a lot of things that they call and ask me about is food, how you prepare food. So when you're in there cooking a meal, you're not just cooking a meal. You're feeding everything within them, and you're teaching them what's important. And what is so nice is when you teach them how to go out and plant stuff and gather stuff and all this stuff, you know that they'll always be able to eat, even when the cans at the store and all is not there no more. They'll know how to take care of their self.
So would you say that the foods that you make and that now the rest of your family makes and eats, would you say that that makes up a significant part of your identity and their identity?
Oh, yeah. Because when I'm dead and gone and they're talking about Grandma or Grandpa, most of it will be at this table. What went on and the love we had for one another will be right here.
And would you say, so you mentioned towards the beginning of this interview about the South, and would you say that your food is distinctly Southern?
Yes.
And how is it different from other types of food? Like, what makes Southern food stand out to you?
Well, we were talking this morning about food, and my son Larry was saying, talking about food, different kinds of food, and I said, hey, that's not Southern. Oh, no, it was Olivia.
Oh.
About, what was it? Something about, it was a seafood dish thing. And I looked at her and I said, Olivia, that's not Southern. Well, it could be. And that's true. But like this morning, Olivia and my son Larry was here, and my husband and I. And so Larry made tomato gravy, and Olivia did bacon. And we did scrambled eggs, and we had sausage. And Dean, my husband, he made biscuits. And that was our breakfast this morning. And, you know, we all did it around that stove, which this ain't a little kitchen, but it's a small kitchen. But it's so neat. That's what brings unity and love to this family, is we all get in there and we do it together.
Would you say that that is, again, something distinctly unique about creating the Southern dishes that you were raised on, and that your mother and your husband's mother made.
Yeah. And that's how you teach the younger generations, is they're in the kitchen with you, like I used to be in the kitchen with them, watching them. And that's what I told my son. I said, Larry, look at what I put and the consistency it is. And then you'll know how to do that. You'll know just how it looks or how it feels. Not so much if you dump this or you dump that, but you'll know how to do that.
Would you say that generally outside of the family, that learning how to cook is something that more people should do, or it's something that you see is very common in other families?
Well, our family, our friends, we're basically about the same thing, you know. We have the same sort of lifestyles, and cooking is very important. And a lot of the younger people are getting away from that. But maybe with Olivia and all the rest of them, they'll remember, well, Grandma did this or Grandpa did that. And so I'm going to try that, because you've always got to eat.
You do. That is very true.
So it might as well be good.
I think I've asked all of my basic questions I wanted to ask you, and so many more based on what you've been telling me. Is there anything about food
you don't want to say
in your family that you want to let others know or pass down generally?
Well, you should always you should always have an open table, and anybody that wants to come and eat, they can come and they can sit down and be part of the family. But you need to share, and you should. So many people don't have family anymore, so it's hard to teach somebody something that you don't know. So, anyhow.
We've got some silverware moving in the kitchen, but that's okay.
Honey. You go ahead and stop.
Well, I did. You made me think about another question. And so I know you have told me, and we've watched together, certain cooks on TV. And so is there anyone on TV or other figures in the public that you see that resembles some of the values that you have when it comes to cooking?
Oh, there's a lady on the cooking channel, and her name is Miss Brown. I can't think of her name, but anyhow, she's good. She's basically, I like to watch the cooking channel, the people that cook Southern foods, because they cook sort of like I do, and you can get a different twist on stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
I see you shaking your head at the sounds. Well, we'll go ahead and end the interview, but if you think of anything else you want to say, thankfully I can get in touch with you pretty easily.
Yes. You're so, one phone call away.
Yes. Is there anything else that you want to say about food, or Southern food in particular?
Well, Southern food is all I know. I'm not a gourmet cook. I'm just a basic Southern cook. And I've been blessed to have a wonderful granddaughter in Olivia, and all of my grandkids, because they're all precious. And we are blessed to have a wonderful family, a very close-knit family. And I'm thankful for that. And they stay contented and stay close by because of this table and the love we have for each other.
Well, I want to thank you for letting me ask you questions and record them. and everything else, really, sharing your love of cooking with me. So we will go ahead and conclude the interview. And thank you.
You're welcome.